Hey, 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 welcome to the Psalms of My Emotions podcast. I am your host, Relinda, and I am here as your coach, your spiritual advisor, to guide you through your healing while dropping some spiritual wisdom Jesus nuggets. The Psalms of My Emotions comes from my testimony of overcoming emotional turmoil that ultimately led me to my purpose. And my prayers for this podcast is that it will lead you all that are listening to your purpose while gaining the tools in the podcast for your healing. Let us hop right into another episode and let the healing begin. Hey, everybody. Hello. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Emotion Monday. I am live today, so I'm so happy to be here live on a Monday. Last time I did it, it was on pre-recorded. Trying to get my mind together. I was pre-recorded. I think I missed a couple of weeks, but listen, it's because I myself is going through transitions. So, you know, I'm glad that how God works in my life, you know, that will give me the ability to share and to testify and to also guide someone else, right? You know, someone has to go through what you have to go through in order to maybe to help you, right? So I'm just honored that God, you know, would trust me in this capacity and to even be transparent about it, to be, you know, honest about, you know, where I'm at, and also in hopes that it will help you all that would watch this podcast. I don't even know what number of nuggets I'm on. I know it's above 160 episodes that I do have that are readily available. If you tune into my podcast, if you are a podcast listener or fanatic and you listen to, you know, podcasts on a regular basis, you can find the Psalms of My Emotions podcast on any platform, right? It's mostly available on, it's available on all for the most part. And if you want to watch it, view it, I do have a YouTube channel, which it streams also on there, and on my Facebook group, which is the Psalms of My Emotions podcast. So you can, there's many ways to get these Jesus nuggets. So I'm so excited to talk about this series. And I had a really good day today, right? I took some time off of work and really just took the time to sit and get some things done instead of just kind of pushing through the day. I took my time getting up, took my time getting ready to do what I need to do. So sometimes you have to do that. Sometimes you have to give yourself a break. So that's a bit of advice to give to you before I get started, to give yourself a break, right? Everything doesn't have to be, especially taking time off of work because you have to do something, right? Do treat yourself. Take some time off for yourself. It will benefit you in the long run and will recalibrate you, you know, for the rest of the week. So I admonish you guys to take some time off. You know, doesn't have to be taking time off work because you have something to do or other duties, right? So I just wanted to go ahead and get started with this series. You guys know the hashtag by now, let the healing begin. And also, we're talking about transitions. I put a post up not too long ago how, you know, very soon the Psalms of My Emotions is going through a transition. I'm still going to be on Mondays. It may change, but I think I'm going to still be on Mondays. I don't know. God is, it's funny how God gives me one thing and I listen for him to tell me when to pivot, right? Because sometimes we have to be, and I'll get into it when we talk about transitions. You know, you can't be so comfortable in one place and not expect God to move you, right? You can't expect God not to pivot you, right? As you grow, right? Because you may have received transformation, deliverance in one area. And with that growth requires a new placement, a new assignment, you know, in the spirit. And it could be, you know, physically, a new location, a new everything, you know, to fit the growth that you've reached. So I just wanted to just get into that, because the Psalms of My Emotions podcast is still going to be a Psalm of My Emotion podcast, but it's definitely going to get a little makeover, not in aesthetics, right? But in more of including more people, having interviews, having kingdom conversations with people, right? I'm not going to reveal too much yet, but when I do make that change, which it will be very soon, it's not going to be too different, but it's just definitely going to include more people, because God has finally grew me to the point where I can include more people, right? Giving me the wisdom and the strength and the love to include more people into this conversation, you know, to, you know, you can learn from a lot of people. So I know you guys, you know, it may be okay for me just talking, just me, but you know, guys, like, now it's time to pivot. Now it's time to shift. So let's go ahead and get started. That's enough with that. I decided to make this a series. It is a transition series. What I have picked up and what I've noticed is that there are a lot of transitions going on. There's a lot of people transitioning. There are a lot of, you know, the environment is changing. The government is changing. There's a lot of transitions going on in the world. And guess what? God wants us to transition, right? He wants us to be this new creature that he has called us to be. He wants us to be, you know, in place. He wants us to transition into purpose. He wants us to transition into the place he wants us to be. So, you know, I wanted to do a transition series because it's so much that I can add. You know, it can't be just in one sitting, in 1 hour. You know, you guys know usually I'm here about an hour. But, you know, I'm going to be here. I'm going to sit on this for a while because God was showing me how there's different aspects and different dimensions to transitioning. So the first part that I'm going to deal with is embracing the unexpected, right? Embracing the unexpected. And, you know, sometimes we can, you know, I don't know. I don't know. It dropped on me when I heard this. I was listening or watching a show, and I can't even recall for the life of me where I got it from, but it was talking about embrace the unexpected. And that hit me so hard because, you know, there are things that happen beyond our control all the time. And I believe God does this on purpose in order for us to, you know, shift. If we always know that something is coming, you know, how can we give God the glory, you know, always being ready? You know, God resides in, you know, it's like he kind of tests us in ways to see how we deal with him moving and us allowing him to make these changes in our lives. A lot of things you're not going to know. You know, and I'm recognizing that, especially in this season of transition that I'm in, you know, you can picture it in a way, but it's like, it's not what I pictured, God. This is totally unexpected. I knew you were going to do something, but I didn't know you were going to do it in this manner, in this way, in this time frame, right? And I kind of want to give you guys just a little testimony. Yes, he does test us Tuesday. I just want to give you guys a quick testimony before I just kind of step in. You know, like I said, this time in my life is a great transition where, like I said, I'm very open. God is literally uprooting me and putting me somewhere else, not far, but just I need to go to a different city, right? I need to be out of this house, right? You know, so I'm preparing and also it became like a mind thing, right? I didn't know how hard it was to start packing, start moving things around, right? It was harder than I thought, even though God revealed to me about 2 or 3 years ago, you need to go. And I mean, throughout the years, he's been telling me, don't get comfortable. Don't get complacent. Don't stay. You're not going to stay where you're at. So I'm like, okay, guys, I'm thinking he's going to wait till I get ready. Right. Because one thing about being comfortable, you'll stay there longer than you're supposed to. And so it was this thing with him saying about, you know, he gave me a dream. And I mean, going through so much financially for no reason at all. Maybe it's some reason, but it's like, it really was no reason. It was like, God, why am I in this tight space financially? What is going on with my money? It just seems like it's just leaving and going. And no matter what I do, no matter how obedient I was, according to the law of how things go, it's like it still was a squeeze. And I'm like, God, what am I doing wrong? And I had a dream. And he told me, he said, I have ordained this for your finances. I'm like, God, now what kind of mess is this? You said you ordained, and I remember the dream clear as day. I wrote it down, but I also remember clear as day. And I remember it being in the front of a church. He told me he ordained it for me. And I don't remember exactly what it was, but he encouraged me right through this process. It was like he gave me words of encouragement to keep going. And I remember waking up and I'm like, okay, God, this is your doing. You know, you have ordained, you know, these things in my life. Right. I said, what, Deshaun? I'm like, what is going on? Like, this don't even make any sense. So he said, I have ordained this for your life, you know, this season. Encourage me through the dream. And I got up encouraged. And I'm like, okay, this is ordained. My steps are ordered. Okay. I'm like, this don't make any sense to me why I would be in this tight financial squeeze, but okay. So then, you know, some years go by and, you know, I'm still, it's like my finance was getting tighter and tighter and tighter. And I'm just like, Lord, I'm like, what is going on? So I remember sitting on the couch. I literally just had this thought in my mind. I said, Lord, this is ridiculous. Y'all know my favorite line from the Waiting to Excel. This is stupid and childish. Why am I in this house sitting on this money? Right? This equity. I'm sitting here just suffering unnecessarily. Right? So I'm like, made the decision. I'm just going to sell my house. I'm going to do it. And then God started to talk to me and he was stating that because during my divorce, my husband and ex-husband in some way is still connected to the house. So he was like, you know, this is your last chapter. You have to close this, you know, chapter of your life. So when I closed that door, decided to sell the house, he then all of a sudden made things apparent and obvious to me. He said, now you understand why I had to ordain your finances. He said, if I didn't tighten up on your finances, you would not have made the decision to leave. I had to do this to your finances so you could finally get to that space of enough is enough and you would have to leave. His whole thing for ordaining that for my finances was to make me move. And in the midst of me being in this house, ordaining my finances, equity just kept adding up to this house, right? Ordained from the start. When I bought this house, it really wasn't nearly as much as houses are for, you know, go for now. It was really low, right? But then as the neighborhood got better and as the things start building around me, you know, it upped the equity of the home. And now the homes are more expensive, which puts me on top because now I don't have to pay as much when it's time to go and I will have an increase. My debt would be demolished. You hear me? Debt would be demolished. Things will be complete. I'm done, right? And that was all to make me move. He knew what it took to make me move, to make me get out of it, to make the decision to get up and move, right? So I just wanted to tell you that was unexpected for me because, you know, guys, sometimes we think we got God figured out. So I'm just trying to think of, I got to get extra jobs.
you know, to try to upkeep with my finances. And then it's like, it didn't matter what I did. Finances was still crazy. But until I made this decision to do this, it made all the more sense. And God was already in the background organizing things. All right. So that's where I'm at in this transition. This is one part of the transitions. I have other transitions that are happening around me at the same time. And it feels overwhelming, right? I get in spaces where I just kind of just hide. I cocoon, right? Because I'm trying to process it, right? And some of you may be in that space now where you don't understand why you're feeling how you're feeling, but you may be really just processing the change and transformation that God is trying to make in your life, the shift that God is trying to make in your life, right? Because transition, I put shifting ain't easy. Shifting is not easy, right? Because shifting kind of just takes you from the familiar to the unfamiliar, right? And you have never been in this place before. You've never been here and you're trying to be in that comfort spot because it's just comfortable. Our flesh loves to be comfortable. You know, so I even wanted to talk about, so you guys know I'm a word girl. So let me go, let me back up. I got excited and I got motivated just to let that testimony come out because I know somebody needed to hear that. You know, you just have to trust God and his plan. When he tells you something and he encourages you through it, trust him. You know, for the direction, you're going to get the answer soon. You're going to get the why. You're going to get the why and the answer when you obey, right? I'm saying, look, I ain't telling you nothing I don't know. So the definition of unexpected is, of course, not expected, unforeseen, surprising, and it could be an unexpected pleasure. Everything don't have to be so dramatic and bad, right? It's unexpected pleasure on an unexpected development, unplanned. Impulsive. It could be blindsiding, right? Abrupt, unanticipated, and unannounced. And I kind of want to just stick a pin through there with the unannounced, the unexpected. One of the words, the synonyms is unannounced. So that is the, for me, when I thought about that, when I ran across unannounced, it's the in-between space, right? Sometimes from when God wants us to be here and we're here, there's this in-between. And the in-between is unannounced. You don't know what's going on in the in-between, right? You just are feeling led to do this, to do that, right? God is not necessarily confirming anything, especially through nobody, right? There's no prophecy. There's nothing in that in-between space, but you're feeling led to keep going and to keep treading, right? And then all of a sudden you see it's leading to what God told you, right? It's moving by faith. It's that faith space, I say, that in-between. And I look back over my life and I realize, you know, wow, God, that in-between space prepared me for what you're saying, right? For what you have proclaimed and what you have declared over my life, that in-between space where I didn't hear you. I thought I didn't hear you, right? These confusing spaces that I was in and these confusing positions that I had to work in. And, you know, the list could go on and on. Why I had to get this degree, why I had to get that degree, why I was in this training, why I had to go for that training, right? Why did I have to be in this situation? Why did I have to be in this experience, this persecution, right? Why do I have to go through this? It's in between space. You told promise me better. That's right. Listen, I hope this encourages you to shine. You know, why? You know, why am I here? And then God will make sense of that after a while, but you have to endure it. Right? You have to endure and trust that God, especially if you have made him Lord, you have made him your lead. You know, God, you leading me. He's not going to lead you wrong. Your steps are being ordered. So, you know, I just want to talk about that in-between space, that middle space will mess you up. You know, will have you confused, thinking, Lord, I'm veering off to the left. And he telling you, you veering on time. You ain't veering. You are stepping in right. It's such a faith space. And it's definitely a space of training for the greater, right? Because if you can master this, your in-between space, when you get into your promise space, you'll know what to do. Because when we learned, you know about the children of Israel, you know, when they were fussing and complaining and stuff, they were in that middle space. And that middle space was a space to recognize that God is God, to strengthen their position and what it means to be a child of God. That was their primary reason. They were supposed to learn the voice of God, was supposed to depend on God to provide. God was training them in that middle space. And then when they got to the promised land, you know, that wasn't as easy as they thought. There was giants in the land. And he's the best teacher trainer. Yes, he is. I mean, no other. The great teacher. He know us in and out. And when they got to the promised land, here's this other thing that we have to do. But listen, those that knew the voice, knew God's track record, was able to, you know, they didn't do it right all the way, but was because they messed up down the line. But once they got there, okay, we know what this is. God had tested us and got us ready in the desert. He didn't got us ready in that desert place, that wilderness. Now we know to trust him, right? That's all that middle space is teaching you how to trust him. And I know it could be frustrating, you know, because you're like, okay, when is this going to be done? Listen, I promise you, you're going to be happy you went through that training space. So, you know, I wanted to even associate this with going from the salvation viewpoint about the unexpected. If you could remember when you came to Christ, all you knew was that I'm tired of my old life. Lord, I done did all I could do in this flesh, and it's profiting me none or little. I'm tired of just ending up in the same spot, right? So, you know, when you think about when you came to Jesus, you gave him you, right? You think about it. You didn't expect when you gave your life to Christ that it included more than you could ever foresee, right? You know, you didn't embrace the unexpected when you accepted Christ, right? You didn't know that you had to sacrifice, you know, your lifestyle, your habits. You know, you just knew that you were tired of the old way. You were tired of the old stuff. It just wasn't working for you no more. But then you didn't understand that you had to sacrifice. You didn't understand that you had to go through some trials. You had to go through some persecution. You had to go through these frustrating spots where you feel like you are alone. You know, you feel like you're the only one in the room that know better, right? Listen, it comes with a cost. You know, as we look up and we look at Christ in itself, we know he had to pay, listen, a price that we could never do. But he had to, you know, it came with a cost, like you said, Deshaun. And so we didn't know that we had to give up our lifestyle. We had to, you know, give up our habits. You know, who gets you ready to embrace that? That's unexpected. Even coming into salvation, that is unexpected. And that's really something that you really can't teach. That's something that you teach those that are new converts that are coming to, hey, lean on God, get more into God. Because once they do get into that point of sacrificing, they know enough to be like, okay, this is what comes with it, right? And they don't expect it, but this is just that journey, right, that God wants us to go through. So, you know, salvation, you could kind of sense that a change is needed, but you can't accurately see it. You know, I wrote here, shift or change is sense, but not accurately seen. You know that when you come to Christ, you know you need to change, but you can't accurately see what that means, right? So then, you know, how do you embrace it? How do you embrace the unexpected? Right? And I kind of hinted towards it in the beginning. How you embrace the unexpected is, you know, you have to learn how to trust God. I know everybody tries to look for these profound answers, but, you know, a lot, it's just simple, but it is hard at the same time. Like I said, trust in the plans of God. How do I trust in the plans of God? Right? You know, you have to reflect on the past track record of obeying God, right? Anytime you get in a tight spot or a defeated spot, and you've been with God, it don't have to be a lot of extra long time. But think back in a time. You can even go back to when you gave your life to the Lord, right? But go back into a time and see when what happened when you obeyed God. That's what I do. I go back and I look over my life. Like, I think I posted on here, if you guys follow me, even on my personal social media page, I posted how I messed around, turned on a gospel playlist while I was riding in the car. And I'm like, why did I do this? This is dangerous. An old gospel playlist where God granted this big, I mean, when I tell you I was in a dark moment for 2 years and in depression, just got divorced financially, really, I mean, listen, financially was in a squeeze, and God finally came through on a promise he made me that he would give me a job that would make things easier for me. So I remember going on the train every day that I went to work, I would listen to this gospel playlist continually. And I remember just crying and just thanking God. Right? Them 3 months that before he shifted me to work from home, them 3 months, I praised God. Every day that I went to work, I praised God. I had a whole playlist to praise God on my way to work because I was so thankful, you know, that he did this for me. So, you know, that was a transitional place for me. You know, that God, you transitioned me from a dark place and then you transitioned me into the light, right? So, you know, that was kind of a me embracing the unexpected, right? So then I messed around and listened to the list and went back and I remembered God's track record, right? I remembered his track record, things that he came through for me because I obeyed, right? So it helped me to embrace the unexpected going forward. Like, God, I trust you because I know the outcome of what's going to come out of this, right? Whatever you flip and flop in my life, I have a track record. I can trace you. I know you did it. If you did it before, you're going to do it again because I'm your child, right? You're not going to leave me. You're not going to desert me where I am, right? You're going to always transition me into something better. You're going to always mold me into something better. You can't fail, right? Yes. Remember his track record. He don't fail. So if you're in that position today and you know God is trying to shift you, go back and remember, God, you did this for me one time. Oh, listen, I'm going to do it because you don't fail. You don't miss, right? You don't miss and you don't fail. And every time that you have put your hand on me to mold me, I have been all the better. None of it has made it. None of it was a downgrade. Everything that you did in my life was an upgrade, right? And I know the enemy will try to scare you in things because it's new. Like I said, you've never been there before. You don't know what it looks like. It's not clear, right? It's scary. It is scary. People that get excited, I don't know. And you should, but I don't. Listen, I'm one that don't need a lot. I'm very comfortable in the little, right? Minimal, you know, comfort. I don't need a lot. So when God wants to do a lot, I'm just like, to me, it's always responsibility. It's more that is required from me that I didn't ask for. You know, I didn't ask for all of this responsibility. I know what comes with this transition, and the enemy is sometimes to put that in your face, and it will cause you not to move because you know that it has a lot of responsibilities, and you start doubting yourself. Like, who am I to take on this big task? Right. And you have to know God wouldn't put you in place if he didn't think you were the best person for the job. Right. He needs you to rely on him to get training. And that means more of in his face tan, in his face tan, you know, more devotion, more seeking him. It just requires so much of us to give to him. Right. So as I was thinking about that, you know, like I said, how to embrace it, you guys know I have to bring in somebody from the Bible, of course. So I would say in the season of transition, what God pointed out to me was Abraham, right? You know, Abraham had to leave, was ordered to leave his father's country and go, just go. Didn't even tell him where, but just go, you got to go, right? So that's what God called me out of. He's just like, I just kept seeing it everywhere. I remember he just said, you got to go. You got to be like Abraham and go. But the thing with Abraham is that Abraham in that time of getting that message and that clarion call from God was that Abraham was definitely in an established place. He wasn't in a destitute place. He had money, right? He had money, he had land, he had all of that. And he was a little older in age, right? He was already even dealing with the idea of not having a son. And that's why he brought Lot. You know, that was my revelation that he gave me. Like, even though God told him to leave and, you know, leave everybody, he still brought his nephew Lot as a means to carrying on a legacy, even though God had him covered, but I'm gonna bring Lot just in case, right? Because I need a legacy. I need somebody to pass this stuff on, not knowing God had that covered, you know, and God doesn't want us to be in that space of trying to figure that out. Some things that seems normal to try to figure out, God, you have to understand the instructions of God. When he tells you something, don't add to it. Absolutely not. Do not add to what he tells you. Just obey exactly how he tells you to obey, and he'll add on stuff as you go. So, you know, he just pointed out, you know, just look at Abraham, look at his track record of obeying. And I'm sure, like I told you guys, to look at the track record, to embrace the unexpected, to embrace the transition that God is giving you or taking you to. You have to, you know, I'm pretty sure Abraham knew the track record by then. Right. You see, going along in Abraham's story, you see him. He has a track record. So it became not totally easy, but it became easier to obey God. Right. The God, I don't understand, even down to him sacrificing his only son that was promised, even though he didn't end up sacrificing. Because look, God, you know, intervened with that, with the ram in the bush. But he embraced the unexpected. Like, I didn't expect God to tell me to sacrifice what he promised I would have. Right? Like, this don't make any sense. But then look at that. You know, his faith was like, God gonna make this all right. This don't seem clear to me, but God gonna make it all right. Right? So, you know, so I just want you guys to just even think about going in the Bible. There's many men of God that went through a cycle of transition. You got to think about the disciples. They went through a cycle of transition following Jesus, right? They weren't all broken and beat down. Some had businesses, right? They were providing for their families and stuff already. So God saying, you know, Jesus coming and saying, drop that and follow me, not knowing where they're going to go, what they're going to eat, how they're going to get by. They just knew, like, I got to follow this man, right? And that's how God wants us to be. You know, you don't know, but you know you got to follow whatever he says, you have to follow. All right. So the thing is, you know, for people that are hard to eat, are having a hard time to expect change, right? This is a hard thing to transition, but change is always good when it's God, right? All changes are not good, but change is good when it's God. When it's ordained by God, it's good. And a lot of it you won't agree with. I don't agree with this sin. When I tell you God been tussling with me in this thing that I'm in, tussle. Listen, I'm like, God, what can I mean, shooting me down every time about trying to negotiate something with him, right? And telling me to go move and ain't telling me what's there. Ain't telling me why, like, the location don't even make any sense. It really don't. And I'm just like, well, it would seem like you're pulling me away from things that I need to be close to. I just have to put my hands up and surrender because I don't know, but I know your track record. All right. So, you know, when embracing the unexpected, when you go through the unexpected, your thoughts are like, or what says the unexpected when comfortable. When you're comfortable in your space that you're in, and God tells you to shift and move, you start, like I said, you start to negotiate with God. You know, your thoughts are like, nothing doesn't have to change. That's what my thoughts was. I got a choice. You know, I don't really require all of this. God, I really don't need this. Why do I have to change? Right? Or, you know, but maybe I can, you know, just do a little bit of this, right? Because I'm embracing it a little bit, right? It should be okay. Well, God, can I wait till next year? Could you give me 2 more years? Could you give me, you know, a couple months? God don't work like that, right? It's not gonna be in your time frame. When God makes these moves and these changes, you have to embrace it all the way, right? All the way and wholeheartedly. And like I said, what's going to keep you going is just reflecting on his track record of you obeying, right? So the reason why you have to embrace in this unexpected is because God shines in the unexpected. God, really, the glory shines when you embrace the unexpected. And like I said, it requires you to trust him. It requires you to sacrifice. It requires to put your brain to the side and pick up, you know, just that strong desire to obey, right? So he shines in that because you're giving him full control and you're making him the captain, right? That's why he shines. God glorifies in that, because if you are in charge of shifting and moving your life, guess who's going to end up getting the glory? You. You're going to be glorifying yourself in what you did. You know, well, I did this and this only happened because I did that. God doesn't want that to happen, right? He wants to get the glory, even in your transitions, even in the unexpected things that he's using, he wants to get the glory. So, you know, he doesn't, you know, everything has to come out in his timing, right? So we can't time the transition, right? You know, and I'm going to end with that. You can't time the transition. You have to embrace it when he said go. Right? You have to embrace what he uses. You have to embrace the timing of God, right? That's kind of what sums it up. You have to embrace the timing of God. You will drive yourself crazy trying to piece things together and, you know, trying to make sense of it all. You know, it's really none of our business anyway. As much as we want to control the narrative of what God wants us to do, he just simply wants you to depend on him and obey. I'm telling you. So this is just part one in the transition series. the next one. Oh, shoot. I had it on a post-it on what the next one is. I will announce it. Let me think for a minute if I can remember what it is. I don't know. So I'm going to have to share with you guys later. But I pray that this blessed you, that this encouraged you to embrace the unexpected and what God does in your life and what God causes in your life is definitely to make you stronger, to prepare you for what he's promised you, you know, in a nutshell. And sometimes it doesn't feel good, you know, when things happen unexpectedly in our life, but you have to know that if you choose God, right, you choose Jesus, then, you know, it's all things are going to work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. So that is all. I'm going to end on that note. And I just want to go ahead and do what I do when I get on here, and that is to do the plan of salvation. And this is found in Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. This thing is a heart thing. Everything that God judges and does and weighs is because of our heart. So you can say this with your mouth, but it has to be an expression of what your heart desires. So like I said in the beginning, you know, coming into salvation, you know, you're tired of being where you are, right? You're tired of being where you are. You know, you want something different, and you know, Jesus is the way. Right? So this is a way for you to do it. You don't have to wait on Sunday. As I always say, every time I get on here, you don't have to wait on Sunday. You don't have to wait to give your life to Christ. Again, Romans 10:9 will show you the path and how to receive Christ. Even as you're watching me, as you're listening, if you say what I told you to say, you know, God, I give my life to you. I confess my sins. You know, I believe you rose. And you died on the third day. You know, I believe you rose and then that you died on the third day. You know, that you died and you rose on the third day. You were resurrected for my sins, right? So I just want you guys to just take that in heart. You're tired of being where you are. You don't have to wait to accept Jesus, but also to get the information that you need, go to a local church, be led. You know, make sure that they teach the word, that they believe in the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit. Be careful with the languages that these people be using. Holy Spirit, right? And that Jesus is being heard loud and clear. You know, sometimes people just say God or the spirit or that. No, you make sure they're talking about Jesus, right? They say the name and, you know, just grow. I'm a testament of the fact that it works, right? So I thank you guys for tuning in. I will catch you next week for part two of this transition series. Go ahead and share it with whoever you think may need this, and I will catch you later. All right. Bye-bye. Thank you.